over 50 years, its ancient bricks and mortar have told stories drenched in agony and distress. A foreign entity, planted in the heart of the Muslim world, shatters the prosperity and harmony of the region, draining all the energies and resources of its people, impeding all unity and progress, throwing the entire area into recurrent turmoil and splitting the Ummah into countless tiny pieces. The siege on Masjid al-Aqsa is a mortal wound for the entire Muslim world, and the state of flux within its blessed confines is emblematic of all the upheavals existent in the global Ummah. Occupation, colonialism, military incursions, provocative stormings, spilling of innocent blood, desecration, torching, propaganda, and denial of basic religious freedoms are all part and parcel of its daily lot. And whilst the Ummah grapples with a profusion of challenges all across its lands, Al-Aqsa remains embedded at the core of its suffering. Its pain equates to the pain of the Ummah, its peace and prosperity too, the harbinger of peace for the entire Ummah, and even the entire globe. As darker clouds gather, ominous forces gain ascendancy, and the scheming grows ever more sinister, it is hardly unexpected for members of a community that has suffered a steady stream of deadly blows not to grow weary or become despondent. Yet the divine system, as reflected in the words of Allah and the records of history, will forever stand as a bulwark against losing hope. As the Almighty Himself has declared, certainly the help of Allah is forever near. Ummah, with the land of Sham and Masjid al-Aqsa at its heart, is undoubtedly experiencing pitiful pain. But it was here before, for 88 dark years, from 1099 to 1187, the holy city of Al-Quds was depopulated of its Muslim inhabitants. Masjid al-Aqsa was seized and desecrated, pure worship of Allah was banned, and the Ummah was incapacitated. Yet it overcame. As Maulana Abu al-Hasan Ali al-Nadwi rahimahullah has penned, Allah has taken it upon Himself to raise beacons of light in every era, who will translate the teachings of Islam into practical life and infuse a new lifeblood into the veins of the Ummah. These friends of Allah were those who attacked innovations and deviations with the full weight of unshakable conviction and restored the true spirit of faith. They reaffirmed the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam against heretical rites, customs and foreign influences, propounded the teachings of Islam to contradict speculations and materialist ideas, raised the banner of revolt in the face of despots and emperors, condemned opulence, luxury and indolence of the rich, and enunciated the teachings of Islam as the sole valid source of religious, moral and political advancement. They provided a new driving force, a new life, to the Muslims of their time. for the weighty burdens of the believers of his time, the man who stood up and shouldered that load was Salahuddin Al-Ayyubi.
I am not those men. I am Salahuddin. Salahuddin.
His life's journey and the broader events of his era offer a crash course in Islamic revival and a testament to the divinely ordained capacity for this ummah to regenerate its dormant vitality. Salahuddin Al-Ayyubi rahimahullah is famously memorialized for his feat in liberating Masjid Al-Aqsa and standing up to the crusaders of his era. Yet, his story is much richer than a single military conquest and is far more instructive. In exploring Salahuddin, one discovers the seeds of Muslim weakness, the importance of internal Muslim unity, the grave dangers posed by deviant sects and their ideologies, the significance of justice and chivalry, even towards one's adversaries, and the impact of authentic and focused Islamic education.
His approach is very broad. You find that he sees that people need intellectual development. So he revives Al-Azhar University, which had already been existent for a few hundred years, but he brings its kickback, investing into education and guiding people, teaching them that if they gave time to education and educated themselves, they would become better as a people. He sees a spiritual decline amongst the masses. Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahullah ta'ala would say that if you wish to destroy a nation without war, spread adultery and nudity in that generation and you will find that generation collapse within itself. So there you see, he uplifts the morale of people, spiritually lifts them.
Salahuddin was no doubt a gallant warrior, but he was also a spiritual sword. He cherished a fond love for all things sacred, honored the ulama, and made it a burning concern of his to unite the ummah. He lived simply, sought no personal fame, and followed meticulously the path of the earliest Muslim generations. Islam was his driver, and the Quran and the Sunnah were the fountainheads of his progress.
Sheikh Abu Hassan Nadwi rahmatullah alayh, he said he defined once, defining Salahuddin, he says, Kana mu'minan musliman muhammadiyan la ya'rifu ghayra lughatil Quran. He said Salahuddin was a Muslim. He was a Muhammadi. He was a mu'min. The only language that he understood was the language of the Quran. The only language that he understood was the language of Islam and Iman.
Salahuddin Al-Ayyubi and his exemplary teachers showed the way in combining the struggle against the nafs, the internal enemy, with the struggle against external foes. For any genuine scholar of historical lessons, it is important to heed the full ambit of his achievements and identify the real source of his greatness.
Salahuddin wasn't just the liberator of Masjid Aqsa. He was the true protector of the Haramain. See, this is what we know about our history. And this is the unfortunate thing. That this is how much we know about these people. We take one aspect of Salahuddin and we think we know Salahuddin. This was a man which changed Egypt into Sunnism. This was a man who was a scholarly individual. He had memorized Shafi texts. This was a man who protected the Haramain. This is Salahuddin. This man was a man whose iman made him active for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Who could imagine he had regular fiqh classes in his town where he stayed at? Fiqh classes. Tafsir, hadith, sirah. Salahuddin, the one who when we see him, we think he has a sword in his hand and he's swinging that sword. No! Salahuddin knew how to build a foundation like the foundation that Fahim, knowledge, ibadah, aqidah, all that. The military thing is the easiest, wallahi al-azim. The military thing is the last and it's the easiest.
Heroes beget heroes, and Salahuddin Al-Ayyubi was the product of his upbringing, as well as the outcome of the concerns of the outstanding men and women who preceded him, building up the infrastructure and sowing the seeds for a much sought after revival. Coming up next on The Spiritual Sword, the life and times of Salahuddin Al-Ayyubi, details of the unimaginable disaster that struck the core of the Muslim world in 1099, and the shockwaves it sent throughout the Ummah.